Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, let's turn over to Romans 10:17. We've been talking about how faith comes. Thank you, Lord. How faith comes. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we're talking about Bible faith. You know, understand, we can have faith, mental faith, normal human faith. We could have that in people. We could have that in things. You know, if you had faith in a person, that would mean that you would trust that person and believe that that person was good for their word, that they would do what they said. You know, if you have faith in a company, that means you believe in that company's product, you support that company, you believe something, some communication that has come from that company. You know, an employer could say they have faith in their employees. What does that mean? They're going to come through. The employer believes that those employees or a specific employee, "I have faith in you," the boss says. That means I believe in your ability. I believe that you'll do what you said you're going to do. If push comes to shove, you're going to get the job done. So there's human faith, just natural human faith. But we're talking about Bible faith, faith in what God's Word said. Now that kind of faith, really any kind of faith, but when we're talking about faith in the Word of God, faith in what God said, it comes by hearing the Word of God. It comes by hearing what He said, and faith, Bible faith, is of the heart. So now you can have faith in your head for something, faith in natural things, but Bible faith comes to your heart. Let's go just back to a couple verses up. Few verses up, verse 8, what does it say? But it says, but what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart," believe in your heart, believing is having faith. If you have faith, you believe. Believe is a verb. Faith is a noun. If you have faith, you're believing. Okay? Where do you believe? With your heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so Bible faith, when we talk about faith coming, in verse 17, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Where does it come? It comes in your heart. What's your heart? It's the real you. We're spirits. And come to your head. You have a brain, a physical organ, but you also... you have your soul, which is your mind, will, emotions. That will evidently be with you. We've talked about this before. You know, when we leave this earth, we're still going to have our mind, will, and emotions. We're going to know who each other are. But your heart is the real you. You're a spirit. The body, this body is going to go into the ground. It's going to decay. If Jesus doesn't come back before we die, it's going to go in the ground. But thank God we're going to get a new body one day. Be a lot better than this one. Not to have all the limitations. You know, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he just came and he just walked through walls. All of a sudden, he was in the room. Peace be with you. Just came right through. Physical stuff didn't stop him. And Are you looking forward to that day? I know I'm looking forward to just that new body. You don't have to deal with this one, doesn't get fatigued, doesn't need sleep. Just nice. But right now we have this body, but this isn't us. We look at this body, but it's like a glove over a hand. The real you's in there. When this thing falls off, you're still there. You know, you've heard of people, many accounts, dying on a hospital bed or whatever. The real them just kind of floats out and they can see their body down there. Well, they know that's not them. That's just their earth suit. That's just what they get around in. You know, if you went to the moon, you don't just get around in your own body. You got to have something to get you around because there's no oxygen, you know, and so on and so forth. That's your space suit when you need in space. Well, right now we need an earth suit. If you don't have an earth suit, guess what? You don't get to wander around here. I mean, as a human, there's angels, there's angelic forces, there's demonic forces, but human beings, we talked about it on Sunday in Hebrews, there's a cloud of witnesses. They're up there. They're not down here running their race anymore. But the real you is a spirit. That real person on the inside, see, that's the eternal person. That's the one that got born again. When we got born again, we believed God. Something happened. It wasn't on the outside. You know, if you're bald-headed, when you get born again, you're still bald-headed. You know, whatever the color of your skin is before you get born again, still the same color. Whatever weight you are, still the same weight. You have freckles, you still have freckles. It didn't change. Your mind didn't change. Thank God your memory didn't just get erased. Thank God that wasn't new. All of a sudden you're born again. It's like, who am I? How'd I get here? Your mind didn't get renewed, didn't get wiped clean, but your spirit, brand new. You're spiritually dead on the inside, became brand new. Well, that's the part that believes God. That's the part, the word speaks to your heart, and with your heart is how you take a hold of what God has said. Now, this is really important. It's with the heart. It's not with your head. You don't believe God with your head. And many people are trying to believe God with their head. And they agree with something and they say, oh, I believe that, but they don't believe with their heart. Now, John Wesley had a term for it, and he called it mental assent. The substitute for real heart faith, he called mental assent. When you have a head faith, you believe with your head, but you don't believe with your heart. And that's a substitute that a lot of people sometimes you get into, even in salvation. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe who He is, but they don't believe that He died for their sins and make it real and personal that I believe, and they don't take a hold of it and act on it with their heart. It's the same thing in everything that we receive from God. You can say, I believe that. Oh, I believe God can heal. But you don't take a hold of it with your heart. Let's turn over to Mark 11:23. With the heart, man believes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It comes and it quickens your heart. That's where faith is. With the heart, man believes. Mark 11:23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's read it again. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Now, we just read over in Romans 10 that we believe with our heart. So he's saying does not doubt in his heart, but believes. You could say in his heart that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, notice what it didn't say. It didn't say doubting with your mind. It didn't say and does not doubt in his mind. It says that whoever says this mountain, it doesn't say, it says and does not doubt in his heart. It doesn't say anything about doubting with your mind. As long as you're believing with your heart and taking a hold of what God said with your heart, you can have doubt in your mind and it'll still work. I'm going to say that again. If you're believing with your heart, you can still have doubt in your mind and it will still work. Because none of us have 100% renewed minds. Brother Hagin relates when he got off the bed of sickness. There were when he got up out of that bed and he was paralyzed, his mind was telling him, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Well, that's unbelief, isn't it? That's doubt, right? But it was in his head was having problems with it. But his heart said, no, this is the word of God. I believe, and took a hold of it. Now, if you take a hold of that, that will help. That will answer questions. Because the devil will come at you, at your head, and say, oh, it's not working. You don't really believe it's working, do you? You don't see anything, do you? And if you say, oh, I'm having doubt, I must not really believe, I must have to go back and get in the Word some more, you'll drop it right there. But if you understand that the devil is going to come against your mind, he's going to attack your mind with thoughts, then when those thoughts can't come, you just say, no, devil, I believe in my heart what God said. I don't choose to believe those things. You're tempted to doubt. You're tempted, and there might be doubts coming into your mind, like I've said before, like Brother Hagin used to say. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop the thoughts from coming. This is key in every area. Any temptation you've ever had, there will be temptation thoughts come. That doesn't mean you're out of faith. That doesn't mean you've sinned. That doesn't mean you failed. It's when we yield to it and say, and go after those thoughts, that's when we miss it. That's when we give in. But if the thoughts come and we say, no, I don't believe that. I believe what God's Word says. I mean, it can happen 100 times in a row, where those thoughts are just coming like a machine gun. You don't really think, what are you going to do now? Yo, man, look at your body and say, no, but God, but God, but God. You don't yield to it. Those thoughts can be there, and the Word of God's still working because you're believing in your heart. Now, how can you tell the difference between just mental assent and real Bible faith? I want to read you something Brother Hagin said. You can tell. I said, people ask, how can I tell whether I have faith in my heart or whether I'm just believing mentally in my head? You can tell because mental agreement or mental assent says, now get this, I know God's word is true. I know God promises me healing and the answer to my prayer or whatever it is you need, but for some reason I can't get it. I can't understand it. Why then don't I have the answer to my petition? I'm going to read some of that again because this is just vital. The difference between mental assent and believing with your heart. Mental assent, the false, the fake thing, will say this. I know God's word's true. I know God's promise, or know God promises me healing and the answer to my prayer. But for some reason, I can't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why it hasn't happened. What's going on? I just don't know why my petition hasn't happened. I don't understand why I can't get it. That's mental assent. Now, what does faith sound like? Faith, real faith in God's Word says, if God's Word says it's so, then it's so. The promise is mine. I have it now. Faith always says, I have it though I can't see it. Do you see the difference? We're saying, faith says, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care that I don't care what's going on. I don't care what my feelings say. I don't care what my body says. God's word says it, so I believe it. That's it. See, when you start having this, well, I just don't know. What, why? You can just write it off. You're starting to doubt and get out of believing with your heart. You started to start reasoning. You see the words, I can't understand it. I just can't get it. It's not about getting it. It's not about understanding it. How does faith come? By hearing the word. Where does it come? The heart. We choose to believe. Now, what does what we see and feel have to do with it? With what God said? Nothing. So if something doesn't look right in our bodies or in our minds, should that change our belief if it's based on what God said? No. No. But I've been there. And that we all tempted. We're all tempted in this area where the devil will come and say, now what are you going to do now? Why hasn't it happened now? What's going on? You must have missed it somewhere. And what he wants you to get to do is drop it and say, oh yeah, you're right. What is going on? You know, he doesn't come like that. He puts the thoughts in your mind. He wants you to say, yeah, why isn't it working? What's going on? What's the deal? Instead of saying, God said it, and that's it. I don't care what it looks like. That has nothing to do with what God has said. It has no effect on what he has said. I believe him in spite of everything. See, most folks want to start seeing it and then we'll believe it. Do you see that? That's what's going on when we're asking those questions. We're saying, why isn't it working? Well, how would you know it's not working? What are you going by? What you see to let you know that it's working. But God never said that you would know it's working by what you see. He said, take him at his word and believe it. What did he say in Mark 11:23 that we just read? He said, be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When are you supposed to believe? There. When you pray. You're supposed to believe when you pray or when you say. When you contact with God, when you're releasing your faith, that's when you're supposed to believe. You don't wait until it shows up to say, oh, it's working. But see, that's what most people are doing. Is they're saying, I'll believe it when I see it. That's a horrible phrase. I know what people are saying. Believing is seeing is believing. It's wrong when you're dealing with God. Seeing is not believing. And if you're waiting to see before you believe, you've totally got it backwards. You'll never see. If you don't believe, you got it before you have it. You have to believe, and then you see. Most people are waiting, and they're waiting, and they'll check their body, and then they'll check their body, and they'll say, was it working yet? Totally missed it. Because you don't believe it's already done, and believe that God heard your prayer, believe that it's working, when you don't have any visible evidence whatsoever that it's working. See, that's when you take it, and you say, it's working, I have it now. Well, it sure doesn't look like you have it. Doesn't look like... Who said anything about looking like? It doesn't matter what it looks like because I'm going on what God said. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11. Well, we've been here several times, but we just need to see this. You know, it makes a difference to actually look at the Word. It does. Teaching tapes, teaching CDs, MP3s are good. Nothing wrong with them. But Brother Hagin, I heard Brother Hagin say himself, he said, so many people are listening to my CDs, listening over and over, not getting a thing in the world. Sometimes because you're not really listening with your heart. You can't substitute actually knowing God's word for yourself. Hearing somebody say it and say, what you have to know where the word is. You have to know the scriptures. You have to know that God said it. It's not enough to know even the truth. If you don't know, if you can't relate it back to what God said, who are you believing for your healing or for your deliverance or whatever? You're believing God. So we need to know what He said. If we know what He said, then we get the answer. We can go, hey, God said it, that's it. But Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. The margin of my Bible says it like this. Now faith is the realization of things hoped for, or the confidence of things not seen. See, faith is the confidence of things that I don't see. So how do you know? How do you know? I have faith. That's my confidence. That's my confidence, is that I believe God, and so I believe whatever I see will change. Brother Keith Moore, he used to work in healing school. He's a pastor of a church in Branson, Missouri, and they started a church in Sarasota, Florida as well. But he taught at Rhema. He was in healing school for many years, Rhema's healing school, traveled with Brother Hagin. One time, he was coming out to preach, and actually my pastor was down at Rhema when this happened. He was in that healing school service and came out. Brother Moore came out to preach, and my pastor said he was just green. I mean, he almost looked green. Just not a good countenance. Did not look good at all. And he's up there starting to preach and just gripping the pulpit and just did not look good, and is starting to try to get it out, say things, and all of a sudden, you know, he's just making a little bit of progress. All of a sudden, he ducks behind the pulpit and just loses his lunch. He's in healing school. He's preaching to people about healing. And he just threw up. And the ushers, you know, came and cleaned everything up, and he goes into the back room. You know, and people are kind of, well, what's going on? What are we going to do? And everything. A minute later, he comes back out. Totally different countenance. He goes, that's what we preach. Some people don't understand. This is what we're preaching. Even in the face of everything, you keep going. And he was fine. But if he would have waited, see, he's not seeing anything. He's walking out to preach in healing school. And he's thinking, well, it's not working if he's going by sight. He threw up. Now, I'm not saying that was God's perfect will. Maybe he was going, you know, I'm not saying you have to do that. He's going through something. He's learning a few things. Something happened. But in spite of that, he didn't say, oh, I guess it just doesn't work. In spite of that, he kept going, and he was fine, and he went and preached the whole sermon. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We believe before we see. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. We want to believe. So many times we want to wait. We want to say, okay, all right, I believe God, we say. And then we're waiting to see if anything changes. And if it changes, okay, it worked. We'll stay there indefinitely. Do you see that? If you're waiting to believe until you see it, you say you've believed, but you really don't believe because you're letting this feedback loop, what you see is affecting and telling you you didn't believe, so you're waiting to see it change to figure out that you've believed, but you haven't seen anything, so you still don't think you've believed, and you just stay there. Now we have to break out of that and say, I don't care what it looks like, I don't care what my symptoms say, I don't care how long it's been, I believe God's word. And so many times we're really just in a holding pattern waiting, but when we break out of this, I don't care, whatever, I'm focusing on His word, it's true no matter what, then it jolts us out of this thing. Let's turn over to John 20:25. So we want to wait so many times till what we say we believe, till reality corresponds with what we say we're believing. We want to wait until all our symptoms leave, all our circumstances are right, till the money's in the bank, and then we'll say, all right, everything's what. We're waiting till all the circumstances line up with what we say we believe. And we have the cart completely before the horse. We have to believe when none of the circumstances look right. You have to believe when your body still hurts as much as it did before. Nothing's changed, but you believe. And you believe in spite of everything looking wrong. And when you believe in spite of everything looking wrong, then that's when we're in faith. We're actually believing God. Then that's when we see results. But if we'll just sit there and wait till, oh, I just wait till, okay, now it looks like it's working because my body changed. We'll never get our body to change until we believe before it changes. This is like Thomas. John 20, go to verse 24. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. What's he saying? And unless I see it, I'm not going to believe. Unless I see it, I won't believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, there you go, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Doors were shut. Jesus just, boom, I'm here. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That would include everybody here, right? Had anybody seen Jesus? But you believe, right? Or we say we believe, right? Have you seen him? But we believe, right? But then something doesn't go right in our body and doesn't change immediately, and we say, well, I just don't know if this faith thing works. Well, how do we know that we're saved? How do we know? Because God said it back in Romans 10:17 in that whole passage of Scripture. Because you've heard the word preached. Because somebody preached to you. Because then you believed in your heart and confessed. That's why you know, because you go back to God's Word. Well, how do you know you're saved? Well, I can take you to Romans. And I can say, because it says, don't turn there, but I want to say it again. Somebody said, well, how do you know you're saved then? You haven't seen it. I take them right here. And I'll say, what does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if God's word is good, I'm saved. Because I've done that. I don't have to see. I'm saved. Well, then we say we believe. God's word says, by his stripes you were healed. He himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. But then I don't see it change. And I start saying, well, I don't know if it's working. Now, how does that have... Now, if I did that same thing with salvation, what am I waiting on? To feel a goosebump? Some people, they don't believe they got saved if they don't feel something. I had to feel something change. Well, you can't feel your heart, not like your hands and your mind and everything. They say, well, some people think they got blessed or something changed in their life because they did get goosebumps and nothing changed in their life. Other people, pray for them, whatever. They sit there, doesn't look like they got anything. But man, their life's never the same after that. You can't tell what people get on the inside by what's going on the outside. Now, if we'll believe with our heart these things, then it'll show up on the outside. It will. Or else God's a liar. Okay? Let's just get down to it. Or else he's lying about it. The devil will try to get you to play all these games, like what we were talking about, mental sin. Well, why isn't it working? Whatever. Those are mind games. So what? Or what you're saying is God's a liar. No, he'll try to get you off. Well, you're just not understanding this. You're not understanding. It really gets back to the simplicity that we just take what God said. We believe it in the face of anything. Believe that what he said is true. And act on the word and act like it's true in the face of circumstances. That's Bible faith. It really is. If God said it and I believe it, that settles it. That's really, it is that simple. Now the devil tries to muddy all the waters and say, yeah, but, and I tried. There is no try. If you believe, you either believe God or you don't believe him. If you're saying, yeah, but I tried and it just doesn't work, then again, we're in that mode of, I'm not sure, I can't understand it. We're not saying, yeah, God said it. Because we could do the same thing with salvation. We could say, well, I tried to confess. I tried to believe in my heart, but I just don't know if I'm saved. And people do, I'm serious, people do this all the time. I don't feel saved today. So? Have you ever felt, honestly now, felt like I just don't know if I'm really ever saved? I don't know. I've had those thoughts. I don't know if I really got born again. I used to have those thoughts. I remember when I was in college. And I just didn't know what was going on. I would go back and, God, okay, if I didn't do it those other times, this time I'm totally conscious. I am praying this prayer, and I know. The fact is, then some other time would go, and I'd be like, oh, I wasn't sure. Until I got to where I was like, no, I know I prayed that, okay? But where does your faith have to rest? It has to get to where I did what the Word said I'm supposed to do. I acted on it. And if God's Word's true, then I have it. I don't care if I feel like I'm completely dead, like nothing's ever happened to me spiritually. If God's word's true, I'm saved. I don't care what I feel like. So that's where we have to be with everything. It doesn't matter what you feel like. Body, shut up. You're healed. And believe it before. And now this isn't just, well, I'm hanging on. I'm trying to see if it'll work. Well, I'm just holding on. I'm seeing if it'll work. No, not if. It works. I believe God and I have it. That's right. Just like I have salvation. I'm not waiting till I die to see if it worked. That's not a good thing. No. Step off and, well, here we go. Down the roller coaster, you know, at the top of the hill. Here we go. We're going to see if it worked. No, that's not a good thing to do. It either worked. I want to know now it worked. I don't want to leave this earth not knowing. It's the same thing. If we believe and we've taken a hold of something, then we believe it worked. Well, see, because the symptoms come. Don't let symptoms, like healing. We're talking about, you know, faith and healing. With healing, I know the symptoms come and they want to tell you not working because they're symptoms. And so you say, oh, I guess it didn't work. Has anybody ever said that? Oh, I guess it didn't work. And what do? You withdraw. You just let your faith down. You know the devil just hoodwinked you? Yeah. Done it to every one of us. See, you're the ultimate authority in your life. What he gets you to say? You might have said, go, sickness, go. But when you say, oh, I guess it didn't work, what did you just say? You just took that command back. You just sided with him. You just said the sickness can stay. I guess it didn't work, it can stay. And then we wonder why it didn't go. No, we said, no, I said go. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. Well, then you or God's a liar. One. Do you see that? It has to work. We can't, but so many times we're waiting for it to go and then say, oh, see, it worked. Do you see that? It's backwards. We're waiting when we see and it didn't go, we're saying it didn't work. What are we walking by at that point? Sight. We're saying I'll know it worked when it's gone. That's like Thomas. Well, I'll believe you, Jesus. I'll believe that he rose when I see him. Well, if that were the criteria, we'd all be in a, you know, big amount of trouble, because he died and rose 2,000 years ago. We don't have the option of going over to the disciples' house and seeing the holes. We got to take the word. So we got to believe the word. Hallelujah. Let's turn to one more scripture and we'll close. Thank you, Lord. Romans 4. Romans 4:17. Now contrast Thomas. Contrast what we read about Thomas and that type of looking at things with Abraham. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This isn't really where I'm going, but look at that. God, he calls those things that don't exist as though they did. They don't exist. But he's saying they do. We're not saying we deny what is. Some people, they flip it. They call those things that are as though they weren't. I'm not sick. That's not what the Bible says to do. We're not supposed to deny symptoms. You know, people come in, they got their nose running, their eyes are watering, everything, but I'm not sick in Jesus' name. No, you are sick. But by Jesus' stripes, you were healed, and this sickness has to change. My body has to change. See, that's a difference. We don't deny what is. We're saying God's word trumps what is, and this will change. You watch. You watch. It'll go. And so that's what it says about God, that he calls those things that be not as though they were. So if my body's sick, what do I call it? Healed. I call it healed. It's not that way. My body isn't healed, but I'm just like God. I'm going to call it those things that aren't as though they were. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Let's go over a few of those verses. Verse 20, or verse 8:19. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So he didn't consider what was in front of him. He wasn't weak in faith, so he wasn't walking by sight and by feelings. He was strong in faith, so he did not consider what was going. Did he ignore it? I mean, did he act like it wasn't there? No, he didn't act like it wasn't there, but he didn't consider it. It's like, yeah, my body is like this, but God's promise says this, so this is not worthy to be compared with what God said. This has to change. So I'm not going to consider it. I'm not putting a lot of weight on it. My body will change. He says he was strong in faith. Contrast that to Thomas, who said, basically, if I'm not seeing it, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not believing it. Abraham said, I don't see it, I don't feel it, I'm 100 years old, but God. But God, it'll change. I'm not going to consider my body. I'm going to consider God's word. Verse 20, he did not waver, go in and out. up and down. He did not waver at the promise of God. How does faith come? By hearing. Abraham heard the promise of God and he believed it, which is why he was in faith. Through unbelief, he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Oh, there's a lot there I think we'll have to probably pick up there next time. But notice how it closes. What he was fully convinced, what's being fully convinced? That means he's in faith that what God promised, he's able to perform. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. If he promised it, he's able to do it. I'm believing that. All other things are off. I'm not considering them. Abraham is called the father of faith. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We just get to where we're fully convinced that what God said, he's able to perform. If he said it, he's not just spouting words. He's not wasting his breath. If he said it, he can do it. Anything else? Got to change. I'm not going to consider it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We'll pick up there next week.